translators in. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm glad you're here. I thank God for a thrice holy God. Amen. I'm glad he's not like me. Amen. Let's get our Bible, if you will, today. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And we need to keep in our prayers today. There's a lot of folks traveling and still. And pray for them. Philippians chapter 3, if you have your Bible. And I don't know if anybody's in the nursery, but if you need it, feel free to go in there and use it and get supplies or whatever you need. Well, here we are. Whoever thought we'd live to see 2020? Who'd ever thought that? I live in the baby boomer generation, the people that were born, a big boom, bunch of children born after World War II. All the soldiers came home and they lived happily ever after and produced a lot of children. My family had 9 in it. I'm the one of 9. And boy, what a generation. I remember when I was a kid, we'd have to train to hide under our desk because we thought the Russians were going to bomb us with nuclear bombs. I don't know what that desk was going to do for us, but that nuclear bomb would have melted that desk. And they'd teach us to line up the hallways and get down up against the wall with our head between our legs and all that stuff, you know. And we didn't think we'd make it this far. And I remember as a teenager, we used to talk about, you know, year 2000. Wow. Year 2000. Man, I'll be 50-something years old, year 2000. We ain't going to live that long. It's all going to be blowed up or something, you know. And here we are. Amen. God's ways are not man's ways. If it had been up to man, we wouldn't be here. There's no doubt about that. And so thank God for another year. Amen. And I tell you, I've been blessed. I hope you have too. And as we go into a new year, I want you to, did I say Philippians 3? Philippians 3. All right, look at verse. Let's start with verse 1. Philippians 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is a safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, if you will, for the sake of time, you'll read the whole chapter, but skip over to verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, talking about the law of Moses, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself worthy to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, bless us today. You said if two or three would meet together in your name, you'd be there and you'd be in the midst and you'd bless. Bless us today, Lord. But don't just bless us. Reveal thyself to us. Let us hear your word. Feel your spirit. See your power and experience a day with you. And Lord, help us. Help us as we try to worship thee in spirit and truth. And if there's one here that doesn't know you, we pray they'd be born again today. They'd be saved by the grace of God so they also could worship in spirit and in truth. And then, Lord, there's folks here, they've had a hard year. And they need some hope, Lord. They need some hope looking forward. And others having a blessed year, Lord, and they need to know what to do with the new year. And Lord, today and tonight, as we preach about the coming year and the future, I pray you'd bless us, help us, encourage us, strengthen us, whatever we need. And then when we leave this place, we'll say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
Philippians 3:13-14, he said, I count not myself to apprehended. Even though he was saved, he said, I'm not just going to live like I'm saved. He said, now he's talking about living like he's saved. He said, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And that's what we're about to do. We're about to leave one year and go into another year. I press toward. That means I'm going hard as I can. I press toward the mark. That's my finish line. I press toward the finish line, the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The greatest thing you'll ever experience in this life is to know Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the greatest after that is that you know that you know.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A lot of people say they're saved, they're going to heaven, they've accepted Christ as their Savior, but they've never experienced the power and the presence of a holy, holy, holy God in their life. They've never experienced that. Brother Ron, they got saved one day. They might have been little, and they've asked the Lord to save them. They know they're saved, but they stopped right there. And they're not pressing. They're not pushing to go farther. Some don't even know there's more to the Christian life other than being saved. So today, as we go into 2020, let us see that mark, that prize of the mark, that finish line. That's what we're supposed to see. That old hymn says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Amen? And that's what we're supposed to be doing. After you get saved, you don't stop there. You keep pressing forward. Now, during this year, some of y'all are going to make some resolutions. Amen? What they ought to be is revolutions. Some of you will make some revolutions. Amen? Some big changes in your life. But you're going to... Now, there's nothing wrong with a resolution. What you're saying is, I've decided. That's a resolution. I've decided. I'm going to do this. I've decided I'm going to lose weight. I ain't going to ask you how many of y'all decided that. But you did it after you ate that pumpkin pie or after you ate that apple pie, and you'll say it till you need eat the next apple pie. Amen. I have decided. We need to make some resolutions. We need to say, I'm going to decide this year there's some things I'm going to do. And the easiest way not to hit something is don't aim at it. And a lot of people, they're not making goals. They're not aiming at anything. So you know what they're going to get? They're going to get nothing. If you reap what you sow and you sow nothing, then you get nothing. And a lot of people would like to have a better life. A lot of Christians would like to be a better Christian. A lot of husbands, better husband. A lot of wives, better wives. Things like that. And they need to make some resolutions, but they need to do it in a way that they do it to God, not anybody else.
Amen. Yeah.
We never quit growing. If you quit growing, there's something wrong with you. Bobby Brindle, my friend, he's a midget. And he's 3'5.5" tall. 3'5.5" tall. The littlest preacher in the world. He calls himself the world's smallest evangelist. He's that tall. He's that tall. And he comes see us, and we go to a restaurant, we walk in the restaurant, and everybody stopped talking, look at us as we go by. They thought the circus come to town. The world's tallest man and the world's smallest man. That's what it looks like. That's exactly what it looks like. And he says, I don't care if you call me midget or dwarf or little people. Just call me gone when Jesus comes. Amen. He doesn't care what you call him. But that's a physical infirmity. He was born wrong. Now he tells me inside of him he's got a natural size heart, natural liver, and all these things, but it's all crammed up in that little body and his joints and all that's right, and his fingers are pretty thick and all this stuff jammed up together. So it causes him a lot of trouble. And now he's got hip trouble. He can't walk because of it. And so he rides around on a little old scooter. Y'all remember when I had him come preach? He'd preach on that scooter. And he'd ride up. I'd ride a little while he'd stand up on that scooter and say, "Amen." And he'd ride that scooter and he'd stop a little while he'd say, "Praise God." You know, but he's got a physical problem. And he acknowledges that. Now, you're never going to get anywhere until you admit there's something wrong with him.
That's right.
And went down to Lancaster to see him preach one time, and he was preaching a little church down there, and I hadn't seen him in years, and when I walked in to sit down, he looked at me, and I got there and said, "Brother Ron, Brother Ron, where you been, Brother Ron? I ain't seen you in years. I love you, man. Where you been? Where you been?" And I told him, you know, stuff like that. Then he said, "Did you see the truck the Lord give me? Did you see the truck the Lord give me?" I said, "No, Bobby, I ain't seen the truck the Lord give you." And there's a door right there beside the pulpit there. He said, "Open that door. Look out there." I looked out there. There's a four-wheeler truck sitting up about that high. And had three steps to get up to the running board so you could get in. And I walked up and I shut that door. I said, "Brother Bobby, how in the world do you drive? How do you even get in the thing, much less drive it?" He said, "Takes a man of God to drive that truck, brother. Takes a man of God." Wonderful, wonderful man. Wonderful attitude. He's never let that hinder him. He's always had more marks and more marks and higher callings and higher callings. He didn't let something like that stop him. He went ahead and did what God wanted him to do. Amen. And you know what he did? He just decided, like the Apostle Paul, "I'm going to press on." And listen, there's a couple things that I think that we need to talk about pressing on. Number one, in Philippians 3, he said, "Forgetting those things which are past."
Right.
Did you know there's nothing you can do about your past? Did you know yesterday is gone, you can't fix it? Last month, last year, it's all gone. And there's nothing you can do to change what happened last month or last week or last year. And so you know what you need to do? Just like Paul said, forgetting those things which are past. Well, preacher, you never had a failure. There's not a Christian ever been born again that hasn't had failures. Amen? We're all sinful. We're all fallen creatures. And we fall down, we get up, we fall down, we get up, we fall down, we get up. The secret is we don't stay down. Man, I tell you what. I might have grew up poor, but I guarantee you they put me down, but I wouldn't stay down. I'd keep going. And in the Christian life, you got to forget all that past, all those past disappointments, all your past failures, much less others failing you, you failing others. You got to forget that stuff and go on. Every day with the Lord is a new day. The Bible says His mercies are renewed every day. His mercy endureth forever. I finally got it. His mercy endured forever. It says that 36 times in Psalm 136, I think it is. And His mercy endured forever. So, you say, "Preacher, I've outsinned my day of grace." No, sir. Today's a new day. Today's a new day. Today's the day of salvation. Amen. As long as you're living, there's a day of salvation. "Well, I was supposed to get saved a long time ago. The Lord called me and I didn't do it. And now I just don't feel like I can get saved." Y'all listening to me on the back, girls? Well, let me tell you something. Today is the day of salvation. You can get saved today.
That's right.
"Well, I missed my chance." No, sir. The mercies of the Lord are renewed every day.
Yes.
You say, "Well, I am saved and I failed. I got out of God's will and God's punished me and He's whipped me." Okay. Take your whipping and go on. Take your whipping and go on.
Amen.
You remember when you was little and you do something and mama would say, "Oh, you in trouble. You in trouble. Go out there to that hickory tree and get me a hickory and bring it in here. I'm going to tan your hide." And you'd go get your hickory and you'd bring it in there and mama would whip you and you'd dance while she whipped you. Y'all didn't do that?
Yes.
Yeah, you did that. Unless it was daddy, he had leather. And you know what you did? You took your whipping and you went on. You're still here. Amen. And it's the same way with the Christian life. You fail, take your whipping, get up, and press on. There ain't no place to quit in the Christian life.
That's right.
We have eternal life. Where are you going to stop in that? There's no stopping place in eternal life. And so number one, forgetting those things which are past, press on. Amen. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Amen. Number two, look at Numbers 14. I'm going to go fast, so if you can't find it, I'm going to go ahead and read it. Numbers 14. Listen, and by the way, I don't have a camera today, so I can say anything. The camera usually sits over there, and I go, 1,400 people watched that last week. Numbers 14, look at verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. You know what you have to do? Sometimes you have to press on through fear too. You just got to go on. The children of Israel was there, you know, and they were just like us. I know they were Baptists because the Bible says they were murmurers and complainers. And they'd come to a group of people and they looked like a pretty tough group there, pretty tough people. How are we going to run them out? Instead of counting on the Lord, they were counting on themselves. And what we have to do, when I get afraid, and we all get afraid in Christian life, God tells us to do something in His Word, or maybe impresses on our heart, and we know we ought to do something. Listen, we get scared. You know what we're supposed to do? Do it anyway.
Amen.
I know you're scared of it. Do you drive a car? Ron lets you drive sometime. Thank God. I rode with Ron. I rode with Ron. You got your license when you were 14?
16.
I got mine when I was 15. They just changed it from 14. I wouldn't ride in the car with a 15-year-old no more. I wouldn't ride in the car with an 18-year-old. But anyway, that's a whole nother sermon there. But you went to get your license. Were you afraid when you went to get your driving license? I was. I was scared to death. That man had a uniform on. And a badge. Well, like it is now, you know, some gal come out there with a clipboard, you know, well, we're going to get this over with, right around that, come back. Okay, you can have your license. That's why we're all about to get killed on the road. This guy walked out there with that clipboard. He said, boy, we're going to take this test. Get in that car. Watch how you got in the car. He watched how you sat. He did.
Yeah.
He watched what you did before you cranked the car. I'm serious.
Yes.
We didn't even have seatbelts.
No.
I tied my rope on. No. and boy, everything. He said, all right, now pull out over here. Go up that road. He's watching you. I was scared to death. I was literally shaking because of that man. By the way, I failed my first time too. I was so scared I failed. But I went back. And I got my license. Now, you're not ever going to do anything that doesn't bring some fear if it is anything good. You ever notice how easy it is to sin? Just jump right in there. Don't think nothing about the circumstances or outcome. Just, boy, this is going to be good. You ever see them redneck boys down the river? Watch this. That's right before they go to the hospital. No fear. I see people with bumper stickers says, no fear. My Bible says, fool. Fool. If you don't fear, you're a foolish person. Amen. And we all have fear. But guess what? Joshua and Caleb said, look, we know they're big. Look, we know it's a big job. Look, we know you're afraid. We're afraid too. But God said we can do it. Let's go do it.
Yes, sir.
In 2020, there's some fearful things going to happen to us. There's some of you already looking at fearful things. But guess what? What we'll do, we'll make a resolution. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. Trusting in Jehovah. Listen here. I'm scared. You're scared. We're all scared. But God is bigger than our fear. We'll go ahead and do what's right.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do what's right. Let God take care of the circumstance.
That's right.
Let God take care of the outcome. Number two, no fear. Make that resolution. Yeah, hey, if it's in Christ, I have no fear. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. That day I got saved, I was scared. But that man said if I trust Christ, he'd remove my fear. And he did. The day I surrendered to preach, I was so scared. I hadn't told anybody. I hadn't even told my wife. I hadn't talked to anybody. I've been struggling with it for a year, afraid to surrender because I know where I come from and I know what I'm made out of. And I wouldn't even go listen to me preach. I'm afraid wouldn't nobody come. And so I surrendered that day, even though I was afraid. I was afraid. And guess what God did? He removed the fear.
Yeah.
But He's not going to remove the fear until you start.
Yeah.
Now they could have sat back there and not got the land of promise and lived a pretty good life. But they would not have had everything that God had in store for them.
That's right.
Number three, Job 13:15. Job 13:15. My resolution was to preach faster. Job 13:15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Now listen to me. Job had lost everything he lived for. He lost his land. He lost his cattle. He lost his sons and daughters. He lost his grandchildren. He lost his money. He lost everything. And his wife looked at him one day and said, why don't you just cuss God and die?
Yeah.
He said, though he slay me, I'll trust him.
Amen.
There's nothing worse than a poor mouth Christian.
Come on, bro.
But I just don't understand why God put me through this. I thought he loved me. If he loved me, he's going to do this. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but Job said, I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust him anyway. I'm not belittling your fear, your hurt, or your suffering. I'm just saying that we're to trust him in the coming year. We're to trust him like Job if he takes everything we got. And he said, listen, I'm going to trust him. The Lord giveth. And the Lord taketh away.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And in the end, we'll get it all back. Job did.
Yes.
Right.
He got that and more. But we've got to trust him. We've got to follow him, even when it's hard. Acts chapter 7. I'm talking about things that's coming, okay? Acts chapter 7, verse 6. In 2020, we need to be ready to make some decisions, okay? And if you wait till you get there, you'll probably make the wrong decision.
That's right.
Believe me, from experience, believe me. If we wait till we get there, if you wait to decide what you're going to do this coming year, in any case, you'll probably make the wrong decision because you're going to make it on the spur of the moment. And you're going to make it under temptation or you're going to make it under trial. And we always, the flesh will always take the easy way out.
Yes.
Always. Acts 7. Acts chapter 7. You remember Stephen?
Yes.
In Acts chapter 7 verse 6, and God spake on this wise that his seed should sojourn in a strange land and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil 400 years. In Acts chapter 7, you know what he's saying? Listen, here's what he's saying. God had all this stuff planned. And he said this, that the descendants of Abraham, they're going to live in a strange land, Egypt. You still with me?
Yes.
Alright, and that they should bring them into bondage. He was telling them, God had that in his plan to make slaves out of them in a strange land, Egypt, and entreat them evil for 400 years. And you and I get discouraged because we had a bad week. And it might have been God's plan that we have a bad week. And we blame everything on the devil. Well, the devil did that to me. How do you know God didn't do that to you for you? If all things work together for the good of them who love God, how do you know the bad doesn't work good too? Amen? And we blame everything on the devil. And blame everything on our wife. And blame everything on our husbands. Amen, fellas, right there.
Amen.
But it's not true. Listen, God has a plan this year. And what we've got to do, we got to realize God's plan is better than our plan. It's better than our plan. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be like Paul. I want to press on. I want to be like Caleb and Joshua. I want to just go ahead and serve in spite of the odds. I want to do it anyway. I want to be like Job. I want to trust him even when I don't understand, believing that the grace of God will take care of it. Amen. I want to be like the children of Israel in a strange land and strangers and being tested and tormented, and yet they trusted God anyway. Amen. Bad times are coming. I know we got good times. I know we got a president that gave you a job, everybody else a job, and we don't have enough people to cover all the jobs. I know that's a wonderful thing. I know our bank accounts get a little bit better. I know our country looks good, but I'm going to tell you something. This year, if we don't have a great awakening in our country, a spiritual awakening, prosperity will ruin us. It will not make us better. It will make us worse. The best times a Christian ever has is on when he's on his knees. And it usually takes something to put us on our knees. Amen? Don't trust in this old world. God might decide to put us all captive and strangers in another land. You don't know what God's going to do. You got to learn how to trust him anyway. Acts 4. Turn to Acts chapter 4 if you will. Look at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them. In other words, they noticed them. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, listen, the book of Acts, if we followed that and we did what God wanted us to do and people saw God work in our lives like he does work in our lives and we glorified God for it and we endured the hardship and praised God for the good times and praised God for the bad times, people would take notice that we've been with somebody they've never been with.
That's right.
Now, I preached all kinds of funerals. And I've been to some where the one that left knew God. And I've been to some, listen to me girls, I hope y'all don't have a phone back there. Listen to me. I've been to funerals where they didn't know God. And it's a whole different world. Amen? What? Hey, sometimes you go to a funeral and people are smiling and they're singing and they're loving one another. And boy, you look around, how can they do that? That one done gone on the glory ahead of them. They're going to be down here by themselves. And then you take notice and you say, oh yeah. They knew Jesus. That's the difference. That's the difference. Now, wouldn't it be something this year if we'd get like Peter and John and make some decisions to live like God wants us to live and talk like he wants us to talk and look like he wants us to look and behave like he wants us to behave? Wouldn't it be something? Because a lot of people would notice that we were different.
That's
right. The Bible calls us pilgrims and strangers. Look, wouldn't it be something that if we lived in such a way that people would know that we'd been with Jesus? That's what we're supposed to do, is it not?
Yes, sir.
I mean, when was the last time somebody walked up to you and said, you're a Christian, aren't you? They got quiet on that one. Amen. They ought to. The Bible even tells us that we'll live in such a manner that others will want what we have and ask us how to get it.
Amen.
Yes.
I remember growing up, it was very obvious who was and who was not. Christian.
Yes.
Yeah. And as a young man, I learned that pretty quick. Now, we weren't Christians. We didn't have a Christian home. that wasn't anything like a Christian home. But I knew a few that had a home that they said was Christian. They were different than us. And then I don't remember any in school that were really that much different. But after I got grown, maybe 17, 18, went to work, there were several men I would have to work with on those jobs that I noticed there's something different about that guy. And I'm going to tell you the truth. They scared me. They scared me. They didn't tell dirty jokes. They didn't even laugh at them. They didn't smoke. They didn't hang around smoking booze. They certainly didn't drink. They were honest. They did their job. They minded their own business, and they went home. And they never talked bad about the boss man. They never talked bad about fellow employees. They did their job, and they went home. And they looked right, and they talked. I never heard them cuss, and I never heard them do things. And I would work with them, but it would scare me to be around them. And I always thought, boy, I wish I could be a husband like that man is. I wish I could be like this guy. And then one day I was working with one old Bud Howe. I'll never forget him, a wonderful man. Went to the Church of God in Clover, one of the greatest Christians. I mean, he was separated. He was consecrated. That man lived for God. You could see the glow of God on his face. He had been a drunkard and got saved. And he loved Jesus. He loved church. He loved sinners. And boy, just being around him, you could feel something. And one day we're sitting there, and I began to ask him questions. During his down times on the machine, he carried his New Testament. He could read his New Testament. He didn't run over to the smoking booth to see who watched what on television last night or what the football score was or the latest dirty joke was. He'd sit there by himself and read that New Testament. Big man. Not a little wimpy man, 6'4", probably weighed 250 pounds, big brawny man. And he'd sit there. And so I got where I'd sit with him and I'd ask him questions. I've been wondering about the second coming of Christ. I'd read a couple of booklets on it, you know, and I had a lot of questions. And he'd answer my questions as best he could. But I'll never forget one day he looked at me and said, Ron, you'd make a good Christian. I remember it choked me up. I said, Bud, you don't know me. I said, I am not a good person. I said, if anybody's going to hell, I'm going to hell. He said, but you'd make a good Christian. He said, because God's good and he can make something out of nothing.
Yes.
And guess what? Old Bud lived that Christian life and I wanted what he had. And did you know a lot of these sinners that make fun of us and they mock us what we believe and all that, they really want what we have.
Amen.
In this 2020, who would ever thought we'd get there? We or to live in such a way that they want what we have. Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth. Salt. What does salt do? What does salt do? It makes you thirsty. And if we're the salt of the earth, people around us should be getting
thirsty.
Help me. We're still Baptists, ain't we? Help me.
Thirsty.
People ought to be wanting. I like country ham. I love country ham. And I know Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so says that ain't real good for you. But my mom ate country ham and bacon and pork chops and all that, and she lived me 99 and a half. And so if I could just make it 99, I'll be satisfied. But I love it. Don't you love country ham? Don't you love pork chops? Oh, you don't eat meat. Don't you like pork chops? Country ham?
I love it.
Salty.
Yeah.
I can just look at it, my mouth start wanting water. I want water. As soon as I look at it, I want water. But it makes me want some more. Don't you eat it? You from York, you eat anything, folks. Amen. Put enough salt on it, possum's probably good, ain't it? Amen. I'm glad you had possum. Thirsty. We'll be making people thirsty in this day that we live in. Everybody's looking for something to satisfy them, and we've got it.
Amen. Yes.
Well, to make that resolution, I want people around me to get thirsty. I'm supposed to be the salt of the earth. I want to be like Peter and John, that when they look at me, they say, that man's been with Jesus.
Amen.
Last, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11. This is the chapter we call the Hall of Faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Amen.
And through faith, listen to this, and through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and delivered a child when she was past age,
yes,
because she judged him faithful.
Amen.
Who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of them and him as good as dead. So many, in other words, he had so many children. Though he is past reproducing, look here, he produced so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know what I want to do this year? I want to live like a stranger to this earth.
Yes, sir.
I want to live like a pilgrim to this earth. A pilgrim means they're a wanderer, they're a traveler.
Yes.
I want to be a stranger to this world. I want the world, when it looks at me, to say, he don't belong here.
Amen.
There's something about that guy. He don't belong here. He doesn't fit in. I want to be the guy that when I walk in the room, all those other people walk out. I want to be the guy because they know that I know him. And when I walk in, they say, whoop, can't hang around with that. I told y'all that story of my best friend when the man come to witness to me at my house one night. We was sitting there drinking, and he grabbed his beer, and my wife said he'd come tell Ronnie about the Lord. And Dale jumped up and said, whoop, wrong kind of insurance for me, his life insurance agent. Said, wrong kind of insurance for me. And he walked back in the back room, sat down there in the dark. Because do you know why? He was scared of that man.
Yeah.
That man was a stranger to us. We didn't understand people like that. And I want to be that kind of person in this old world that when they look at me and you, they'll say there's something different about those people.
Yes.
They dress different. They behave different. They talk different. They talk about faith. They talk about love and joy and peace. They talk about God. They talk about Jesus, his son. They talk about going to heaven. There's something strange about these people. And that's the way the world ought to see us.
Yes.
These new churches saying, well, we're going to fix it so everybody will want to come. Let me tell you something. When I first went to church, I really went to church. I was 21 years old, first time I heard the gospel, unadulterated gospel. And I went probably 5 or 6 times before I got saved. And I was as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a rocking chair factory in that place. I was scared to death of those people. I didn't understand those people. That preacher scared me. And he was pointing at me. Every time he pointed, he was pointing right at me. And he was talking about me. And he knew all these things I didn't know anybody knew about me, and I didn't like being there, and I was very uncomfortable, lost, going to heaven. Here's what I thought. That music is pitiful. Why don't we put some Led Zeppelin music in there? Now you laugh at that. That's the way I thought. But you know what? Those people who think like that now are in charge. And they do put the music in there. And I looked around, those people dressed holy. They dressed different. They behaved different. They had a different demeanor about them. And that bothered me, but at the same time, it attracted me that these people were pilgrims. They act like they didn't belong in this old filthy world. They wasn't carrying signs. They wasn't protesting against anything. They were having a good time worshiping God, amen, headed home.
Amen.
Yes. This year, we'll be like Paul, forgetting those things that are behind. Would it be like Caleb and Joshua, would it press on? Would it be like Job, trust him even if he slays us? Would it be like Stephen, would it forgive those who personally seek us harm because we don't belong here anyway? And then would it be like Peter and John, we'll live and act so that others will marvel that we've been with Jesus. We don't act natural to them. Would it be like Abraham and Sarah, and we'll live like strangers and pilgrims in this land by faith, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God?
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Now this year, you're going to make some decisions. Where you're going to work. Who you're going to live with. What you're going to buy. What you're not going to buy. And every bit of these, they're natural things. You have to do them. But let me tell you something. There's some unnatural decisions you got to make too. Supernatural decisions. Number one, you're going to have to decide, am I going to be born again? You're going to have to decide. If you're not saved this year, you're going to make that decision again this year. You made it last year and you ruined last year because you chose not to be saved. Y'all still with me? You're going to have to do that. And today's the day of salvation. You can get that settled today. Don't wait till midnight, Wednesday night. Do it right now. Do it right now. Or get saved now. Today's the day of salvation. But you're going to have to do that this year. You have to say no to Christ or yes to Christ.
Amen.
You're going to have to do it. Then not only that, but you got to get those that are saved. We got to get thoroughly right with God this year, this coming year. We've got to get thoroughly right with God. I don't mean half in and half out. I don't mean lukewarm. Jesus said in Revelation, that makes him sick. Lukewarm Christians make him sick. Well, I'm not that bad, preacher, but I'm not that good. Well, you're lukewarm. Get right with God. Either go all the way or don't go at all.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You young people, Jesus is either Lord or he's not Lord at all. Don't call him your Lord if you're not doing what he said. You need to make some decisions this year to get thoroughly right with God, whatever that means. And then, we as Christians who's doing the best we can, we've got to have compassion on some making a difference.
Amen.
Jude 22 says having compassion on some making a difference. We need to start feeling sorry for sinners.
Amen. Right. Amen. Yeah.
They don't know they're sinners.
Right.
They don't know they're going to hell. That Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I... Philip said, understands what thou readest. He said, how can I accept some man guide me?
Yes.
And he took the scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. Look, they don't need your ideas about how to have a better life. They need a better life.
Amen.
And that's only coming through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And look, they don't need rehab. They need regeneration.
Yes.
A whole regenerated body, soul, and spirit needs to be made over by the power of God.
Amen.
Through the Holy Spirit. Look, they don't need to turn around. They need to turn to him.
Amen.
And we need to have compassion on people. And did you know every drunk you see going down the road is some loving mother's son?
Yes.
It might be some pitiful wife's husband.
Yes.
Every drug addict you see out here hanging around out on these corners with sign lying, I work for food. Did you know that's somebody's daughter? That's somebody. It might be somebody's sweet wife. That might be somebody's mama.
Right.
We need to have compassion on some making a difference. And we don't have to support their sin, but we do need to point them to the Savior.
Amen.
Amen. And look, we don't just need to sit by while the world goes to hell. We don't just need to live selfish, self-centered lives and let others suffer and die lost and go to the devil's hell. I'm glad somebody cared about me.
Amen.
Now, no one ever cared for me like Jesus.
That's right.
But I'm glad there's four or five people after I got under Holy Ghost conviction. He began to draw me to Christ. I'm glad there's four or five people cared enough to come to my house and sit down on my couch and share the gospel with me. They didn't have to do that, Brother Mike. They went out of their way. The day I got saved, when Preacher Faulkner, I hugged his neck and said, I want to be saved. And he said, he desires to save you. He said, boy, we've been praying for you for 3 years. We've been praying for you. I didn't even know they knew my name. Having compassion on some this year. That's what we got to do.
Yes.
The church is not dying. The church will never die. Jesus said the gates of hell won't prevail against church. It's church members that are spiritually dying.
Right. Yes.
We need to get our heart broke for sinners again.
Yes.
Yes. I used to be one of them. I was that little old 10-year-old boy. That woman, she asked her son, said, why you gonna hang around that white trash? Mm-hmm. And there's millions of people just like that right now. There. This woman was a leader in the Methodist church. She led the women's thing in the Methodist church. And she called me and my little brother white trash. But we didn't have a father. Now you listen to me, Christian. Now, if you're lost, forgive us that we treat people this way. Hey, if you're not saved, listen, we need to apologize to you that we don't love you more and we'll do more to get you saved.
Amen.
But we're not going to do that until we make a decision to do that. That's not going to happen unless we go out of our way to make it happen.
Amen.
And crucify our flesh in order to get somebody to the cross.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. Lord, I feel